Amen. God bless you this morning. Again, thank you for coming. Thank our praise team for helping us to worship our King and our Savior. Amen. Let me announce while it's fresh on my mind that I need to meet with all of the men who are journeying with us to Gridiron. Next week, we need to meet for just a few moments so we can talk about our departure time and how much money y'all need to bring with y'all so y'all can buy my meals. Amen. So please, if you don't mind, just hang around for a few moments and we'll talk about our trip to Birmingham to Gridiron. Take your Bibles this morning and open with me to the Gospel of St. John. St. John chapter 16 for just a simple and a brief word this morning. St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16. I want to begin reading in verse 7. And I want to read through verse 16. St. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Jesus is talking to the disciples. In verse 7, he says to them, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Verse 14, Jesus said, "He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." And finally, verse 16 reads, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father." Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, thank you this morning that you have not left us as orphans, but you have sent a divine helper, the Holy Spirit. This morning we lean on him. And so I pray that you speak to us in such a way that all of us would be able to understand it and live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that the Lord Jesus knew is that he knew that there was no way that we could survive on our own. Jesus knew that there was no way that we could make it by ourselves. He knew that both the lost sinner and the born again children of God would need some divine help along the way. Jesus knew that without some help from heaven, no lost sinner would ever be saved. And Jesus knew that without some help from heaven, the saved folks would not live for his glory. And so Jesus knew that we had to have some divine help. And so he did a wonderful thing. He did a glorious thing. When he departed from this world, he sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in this world and he lives and he dwells in the heart of every Christian. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Listen, he's here. And he's working. He's working to get the unsaved saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has one agenda for you. He has one desire for you, and that is to bring you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's here and he's working. He's working to help the lost get saved. And he's working to help the saved live for Jesus. He's working. And so in this little series of messages that we've been in, I've talked to you about the person of the Holy Spirit. I've talked to you about the work of the Holy Spirit and where he's doing this work. This morning, I want to try to talk to us about how he's doing the work. I want us to think about this morning. Listen, how is it that he accomplishes his divine assignment? Now, that's important to us, because if we know what he's doing and we know where he's doing it, listen, and when we see it being done, it'll help us to understand how he's doing it. We need to know how the Holy Spirit is trying to work in your life and my life and in the life of this world and in the life of this church, because he's here. He's on a divine assignment, and we need to be able to identify how is he accomplishing God's purpose in this world. Jesus tells the disciples in verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. Jesus tells the disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Listen, what Jesus is saying to them, he's saying to them and he's saying to us this morning, it is to your advantage that I go away. Keep in mind that when the Lord Jesus was here in the flesh, he was both man and God. But while he was here in the body, he was limited in certain ways. Jesus, while he was here in the flesh, could only be in one place at a time. Amen. Listen, if he was in Jerusalem, he couldn't be in Galilee. If he was in Israel, he couldn't be in America. If he was at my house, he couldn't be at your house. But when he left and sent the Holy Ghost, listen, then God could be everywhere at the same time. So therefore, he can be at your house fixing your dilemma and at the same time at my house fixing my dilemma. And so Jesus said, he says to the disciples, watch this. He said, it is to your advantage. Listen, it's good for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, listen to me, without stammer or stutter, he is here this morning and he is trying to work in you. Now, what we want to do this morning in this little simple message, we want to identify how is he working. Listen, how is he trying to accomplish the purpose of God in my life? Well, Jesus gives us four or five things that I want us to see that helps us to identify when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. The first thing that I want you to see, listen, is that the Holy Spirit works by convincing and convicting mankind about the awful condition that we're in. Now listen, it's right here in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, folks, I can't even begin to tell you how important that is. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit accomplishes God's purpose in our lives is he uses this method of convincing and convicting us when it comes to sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Listen, the only way you can get saved, the only way your life can change, the only way you can come out of darkness into light is that you got to let the Holy Spirit convict you and persuade you that you're in a mess. Amen. And listen, because I thought about it this morning. If the Holy Spirit can't convict you, he can't help you. If the Holy Spirit can't show you the error of your ways, he can't show you a better path to try. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't convince you that you're lost, he cannot bring you into saving grace. One of the problems in the world today, and it's in the church as well, is that, listen, we have become so stuck and stubborn in our sin, listen, that the Holy Spirit is trying to show us where we're going wrong. Watch this. Let me try to bring it home with you. If the Holy Spirit can't convict you, listen, if he can't convince you that your family is going the wrong way, he can't help you. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't convince you that what you're doing is sin, you will never turn it loose. One of the blessed things that God does for us is God puts his finger on our sin and make us own up to it. It carries with it the idea of a prosecuting attorney. Okay. Now, a good prosecutor know better than to come into the courtroom without some evidence.
That's right. Amen.
In fact, he's gonna win that case not by anything other than the evidence he produces. And what the Holy Spirit have to do with you and he have to do with me is that he have to grab us by the nape of the neck. Take us down this filthy road that we've been traveling. Take us back into our past and show us our sin. Now watch this, because see, we're smart. Amen. And we are argue and we are lie until he produced the evidence.
Come on. Amen.
And listen, and he's not producing the evidence to condemn you. He's producing the evidence to save you.
Amen.
And there are some of us here this morning. Lord, help us. We're living lifestyles that we know is outside of the will of God. We're holding on to some things that we know. Listen, every time we reach and get it, we hear the Spirit of God saying, you need to turn that loose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, he's trying to convict you that the sin that you are enjoying is destroying your life. He's trying to show the unsaved person. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to hear what the Spirit is trying to tell you. He's trying to show you that the wages of your sin is death. Listen, that your sin eventually is going to bring you to a sad and miserable place. It's a place called hell. It's a place, listen, where the soul never dies and the fire is never quenched. It's a place of unbelievable, undefinable suffering. And all of us would die and go to hell if it were not for what the Holy Spirit does in our lives.
Amen.
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 Now, he does it in many ways. Sometimes he uses a parent. Amen. Sometimes he uses an old woman like Olivia Bledsoe, who knew what we were doing, even though she wasn't there. Listen, he uses a parent. He speaks through a parent, and we get mad with the parents and call them nosy and want them to get out of our business. But it's really not them. It's the Spirit that lives in them that's trying to warn you. Listen, sometimes he uses a preacher who got the guts, listen, who got the nerve, who love you enough to call sin, sin, and wickedness, wickedness. Every Sunday I leave here, I wonder how many folks left mad with me. Amen. But listen, I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Jesus said, listen, you shall know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. Amen. And so sometimes, listen, sometimes he uses a parent. Sometimes he uses a preacher.
Yes.
But if those don't work, then he uses circumstance.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is committed to getting the lost saved. And he's committed to getting the saved to live like they ought to live.
That's right.
And so if you won't listen to mom and daddy, and if you won't listen to the preacher, then he uses circumstances.
Amen.
Sometimes he take your job.
Come on.
Sometimes he take your finances. If that don't work, then he'll take your freedom. He'll let you spend some months in Giles County jail. Because he's committed, listen to me, he is committed to showing you the error of your ways. Three things that Jesus says here in this verse I want you to see. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then watch what he said. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, he said, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus said, listen, there are three real major areas that the Holy Spirit wants to convict you of and convince you about. He said, number one, of sin. Of sin. Now watch this. Listen to me. The greatest sin that you can commit against your own soul is to live and to die without faith in Jesus Christ. Listen what Jesus said. Listen. He said in verse number 9, he said, of sin because they believe not on me. Listen to me, folks. Listen. It's not the sin of lying that's going to send you to hell. It's not the sin of adultery that's going to send you to hell. It's not the sin of covetousness that's going to send you to hell. All those are sin, and they're terrible within themselves. But the greatest sin is to live and to die without Jesus Christ. That's the greatest sin you'll commit. I hurt the people because the devil has sold the lie to some folks that hell ain't real. The devil has convinced some people that there is no place called hell. Listen, he convinced them that there is no hell, like the makers of the Titanic convinced folks that were on that boat that the Titanic couldn't sink. But folks, I want to tell you this morning, you listen to me because I love you, and I know God loves you. If you live and you die without Jesus Christ, you will be condemned to a place called hell. Listen, there is one way in, and that way is rejecting Jesus Christ. But there are no way out. There are no exits. Listen, there are no exits in hell. Once you get there, you're there. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to show you this morning. He said, listen, he shall convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. Then in verse number 10, he said, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Jesus said, listen, the other thing the Holy Spirit is going to try to convince you of is that there is but one way to be right with God. There is but one solution to your sin problem, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You can't clean yourself up enough to be acceptable to God. You can't turn over enough leaves to be acceptable to God. You can't make enough changes in your life to be acceptable to God. The only way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way. Jesus said, listen, of righteousness, here he is, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. What is he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. He's talking about the fact, listen, that this world, this unbelieving world, is still trying to find a body that's no longer on earth. Amen. You know why it ain't on earth? Because it rose from the dead. It ascended back to the Father. And right now, that same Jesus that they crucified is sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Oh, they can look, but they won't find him. They can search, but he won't be turned up. Amen. Because he's back in glory, and that is the proof that what he did at Calvary paid our sin debt in full. But then Jesus said one more thing. He said, listen, he will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now he's talking about the devil. Now stay with me, don't sleep. Believe me or not, we're almost finished. He's talking about the devil. And here's what Jesus is saying. If I had the power to judge Satan, what make you think that I don't have the power to judge you? If I, listen to me, if by my death, by my burial, by my resurrection, that I destroyed the works of the devil, what make you think that you're going to escape my judgment? If the devil can slime out of it, if the devil can squirm out of it, if the devil can get away from him, listen, what make you think that you won't stand in judgment before God? Lord have mercy. And so one of the things the Holy Spirit tried to do, he tried to convict us and convince us about our sin. And I want to say this to both the saved and the unsaved. Now, you listen to me, because this would be worth coming to church for this morning. If the Holy Spirit cannot convict you, he cannot help you the way he wants to. Listen, if he cannot convict you, if he cannot persuade you that the direction that you are going is the wrong way, he cannot turn you around. I had to go to Murfreesboro to take an exam for my job. It was a state test. And two or three days before I had to go to Murfreesboro, Miss Maddie got me in the car. took me to Franklin, put me on Highway 96, I think it is, and told me, said, now all you got to do is stay on this road. I mean, don't turn to the left or to the right. Just stay on this road. Well, I get up. In fact, I told Miss Maddie, no need of taking me any further. Let's turn around and go back home. I can make it from here. I can remember that. A few days later, I get up to go to Murfreesboro, and I go to Franklin, and I get on 96, and I start in the right direction to Murfreesboro. But because I wasn't making it to Murfreesboro as fast as I thought I ought to make it, I thought there is no way Murfreesboro can be this far up the road. Folks, I made a left-hand turn. I don't know the name of the road that I got on, but I do know the place that I ended up at. I got to a place called Nolensville. Amen. Now, for those of you who travel, you know that Nolensville really ain't even in the vicinity of Murfreesboro. Now, here's the thing. This is the God-given truth. The whole time I was turning and going down that road that led to Nolensville, the Spirit of God was telling me, you're going the wrong way. Because let me tell you something about Anthony. Anthony really know how to pray when he's in trouble. Listen, when the sun is shining, now you may get me, I may offer one knee kind of prayers, now lay me down to sleep. But when I'm lost, when I'm in trouble, listen, when the storm of life is raging, there's no lay me down to sleep, it's, oh Lord, oh, you got to come help me here. You know, listen, won't prayer change how you pray? Listen, won't circumstances change how you pray? Amen. And so I get to Nolensville, and the Lord directed me to a fire station. And I got out the car with tears in my eye. I know the man knew I had almost cried. And I said, man, listen, Can you tell me how to get to Murfreesboro? And he said, brother, you ain't close to Murfreesboro. He said, you see that road that you come in on? He said, you got to get back on that road and go back the way that you came. Since GPS and Siri has been on the market. I mean, Siri had some awful fights. Because Siri is like the Holy Spirit in many ways. She tried to take you the best way. Amen. She tried to take you the most convenient way. She tried to keep you out of trouble. And there have been some times when me and Siri has argued. And I tell Siri, you can't tell me what to do. And I turn anyway. And Siri said, recalculating. But the Holy Spirit said, I'll show you when you're willing to listen. And so he tries, listen. Because he loves us. Amen. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Because God the Spirit loves us, he try to convict us and convince us before we make shipwreck of our lives. Amen. That's the first thing that he does. But listen, here's the second thing that he does. He works to convict and convince. But then also, he works based on the truth. Everything that the Holy Spirit will do in your life is centered on the truth. Listen, it's centered on the truth. And listen, not only is it truth about Jesus, it's truth about yourself. God has had to tell me some stuff about me that I really didn't like. Amen. Listen, God has had to show me some things about me, about my habits, about my attitude, about how I spend my time, about how I spend my money, about how I treat people, about what kind of pastor I am, about what kind of husband I am, about how I raise my children. God has had to show me some things, some truth about me that I really didn't like. Look what Jesus says in verse 13. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth." Listen, if you think that the Holy Spirit is going to lie to you, you're fooling yourself. He operates in truth. Listen, he operates in truth. How many of y'all know that anything that is built on a lie is built on sinking sand? Listen to me, any money that you make, any relationship that you build, if you build it on a lie, you build it on bad foundation. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. He'll speak the truth to you. That's why we really don't like to talk to him. Amen. Because let's just face it now, all of us got a problem with some truth. I know some of y'all do, because when I say it, I see the look on your face. I'm just kidding. Look, listen to me. You will never be free. And you will never really have the power of God operating in your life until you're willing to receive the truth. Amen. 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 To receive the truth. The truth. You know, sometimes people tell you the truth to hurt you. Amen. 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 I won't ever forget, I was good friends with a good preacher. A brother in Christ named Brother Willie, and Brother Willie and I, we ministered a whole lot together, and I loved him like a brother, and I know that he loved me, and therefore our children kind of grew up together. His son and daughter was about the same age of Marquita and Chris, and so we grew up together. So whenever we seen those children, Matt and I seen those children out, because we had built such a good relationship with them, we'd hug and we'd laugh and we'd talk, and the children were grown the last time I seen them. In fact, they got children of their own. And one day I seen Crystal in Walmart, and she had three kids, and they were kind of stair-step, maybe 5, 7, and 8. And the 5-year-old was just big enough to have a mouth. And I heard her as I was walking toward them and smiling and you know, greeting Crystal. I heard the 5-year-old tell the 7-year-old, "Wow, that guy is ugly." Brother Steve, I had to pray real fast because I got in the flesh. Amen. Now, in that little girl's opinion, she was just telling the truth. Now, that ain't got to be everybody's opinion. But she was just speaking the truth. You have to, listen, you have to let the Holy Spirit speak the truth to you. You have to be willing to receive the truth. Listen to me. Sometimes it's not everybody else. sometime it's me. Sometime it's not Miss Maddie. Now, most of the time it is. Sometime it's me. Now, listen to me. Look, the Holy Ghost cannot promote you until you're willing to receive truth. Here's what I had to learn real quick. When I come to Solid Rock, I had to learn real quick that God can't help me with my weaknesses if God can't talk to me about my weaknesses. Without me fighting him. Sometimes when Matt and I are having one of those husband and wife discussions, you know that, you know Jeff. While she is trying to point out to me areas that we need to work on, and let me tell you something about us. We get defensive real quick, don't we? Amen. And so while she's trying to point out to me areas that we need to work on, before she can get it out of her mouth, I'm giving her an excuse. I'm giving her a reason why I didn't wash the dishes. Amen. I'm giving her an excuse as to why I'm the way I am. And I'm telling you, I just come to tell you this morning, Holy Ghost cannot help you if you can't receive truth.
Amen.
And so one of the things I had to learn when I come to Solid Rock, listen, God would get me home and God would show me that you didn't handle that situation right. He would get me home and send me, he would tell me, you need to work on that right there. And my heart's desire is to be the very best pastor to this church that God would help me to be. And one of the things God is my witness, I just had to come to grips with. I had to come to grips with the fact that God has a right, because he has so much invested in the ministry and in me. God has a right, for lack of a better term, to correctly criticize anything that he wants in my life.
Amen.
And there are some of us, and I'm going to close when I say this right here. There are some of us, you'll be stuck right where you are till Jesus come back. Because you robbed from God his God-given right, his fatherly right to correct you when you're wrong. You'll never go any further. You'll never go any higher. You'll never be any better. You'll never possess more of what God wants you to have until you're willing to receive the truth. Because he will not lie to you. Let me tell you what he'll do. Listen, if you go back to St. John chapter 14, Jesus promised the disciples that he will never leave you. He said he'll be with you forever. So listen, watch this. Come here, Miss Maddie. So here's what he'll do. He's in you. He's in you. Listen, he's not just with you as a believer. He's in you.
Amen.
He's in you. Now watch this, listen. But when you get to the point where you won't receive the truth that he's trying to share with you, to help you and to make you a better person, here's what he'll do. He won't leave. He's still there. But here's what he'll do. because your heart has become callous. A parent never stops loving their children when they're disobedient.
Amen.
You love them dearly, but you can talk to them so much and you can plead so much till you tell yourself, I'm just not going to say anything else. Because Stephanie ain't going to listen no way. So he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how he used to talk to you? Why you, tell me why you're in there washing dishes. And he just began to remind you of how good he been to you.
Amen.
And what God's brought you through.
Amen.
And if the neighbors could walk past your window, they think you lost your mind. Because you're crying and you're shouting and you're thanking God. You stand with me this morning. Lord Jesus.